You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome, everybody. Happy Tuesday afternoon, one and all. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Been very excited to talk with my next guest. His name is Robert Held. He is an attorney from the Chicagoland area. And while he wasn't a barn-burning, foot-stomping, protesting type, he recently felt motivated to show up near Chicago at the Broadview U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Facility. This is where immigrants have been taken, someone argued disappeared, off the streets of Chicago and brought pending deportation proceedings. Again, this is without fulfilling the requisites of the Fourth Amendment. We'll get into that a little bit with my guest. But while he was at one of these protests recently, he himself ended up detained and held for 8 hours by ICE. With that, I want to welcome you, Rob, to the show. Thank you so much for making time for us. I know you have been in high demand since all of this went down. It is a pleasure to have you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here. Thanks, Maggie.
Let's just, before we get into what exactly went down, you know, the accounts that I've read of your story indicate you weren't, again, some, you know, barn-burning protest-type guy, but that you, over the course of these months in watching the Trump administration, felt compelled to show up in Broadview to protest what was going on. Tell us about how you got to that point and why you decided that you wanted to exercise your First Amendment right and show up and complain about the government's actions.
The truth is, till about a month ago, I'd like to say that I don't get out much, but I was seeing videos, video after video, of federal agents shooting with less lethal weapons, protesters who were simply demonstrating peacefully. And I say that accurately. There were rubber bullets, there were pepper balls, there was tear gas canisters thrown, and I'm watching this video and I couldn't believe it. And I felt motivated, compelled to go out there and protest, number one, against, you know, what ICE is doing, but also to observe for myself, you know, this is America. I mean, are they really shooting, you know, these less lethal weapons at peaceful, innocent protesters who are not obstructing or impeding? And the answer was, yes, they absolutely are, because they took pepper ball shots at me.
It's extraordinary. And I think one of the things as lawyers we are called to do in moments like this is indeed to bear witness, right? To show up. We understand the law. We've all took oaths as officers of the court. We all take an oath to defend the Constitution and to fulfill that in our duties as a lawyer. And so I think folks bearing witness, not just attorneys, but especially attorneys as officers of the court, to bear witness in these moments, to lend credence and to help elevate the voices of others who are experiencing this is so critical. And I applaud you for getting involved in this way. Tell me, how many protests have you been at? Have they all been at the Broadview facility? And then we'll get into the events that happened at the very tail end of September.
Sure. Well, I have an app that alerts me where ICE is, and I've actually acted on that, you know, those alerts about ICE in downtown Chicago and in my home in the suburbs of Chicago as well, but never successfully found ICE based on those alerts that I get from the two apps that I have. But I have gone to Broadview quite a lot in the last 5-6 weeks now. And so that's where I've encountered ICE and the authorities that are policing the protest areas now in Broadview, Illinois.
Are there local police there, or is it, describe the scene. Can you tell which agency these various law enforcement officers are with, whether they're local Broadview PD, whether it's ICE versus CBP, FBI? Tell us, paint the picture for our listeners.
Well, it's changed. So when I first was going there about the second, third week in September, you could literally walk up to the ICE facility. It's a processing facility that's, as I said, in Broadview, Illinois, and you could literally walk up to its boarded windows and the locked door and the cameras and so forth. And agents, you know, would come outside. And but you're right, alluding to who they are. Some of them have not uniforms, but you know, the FBI logo on their outerwear. Others say customs or border patrol. But most, we don't know who they are or what agency they work for. They could be ATF, FBI, ICE, border patrol. We simply don't know because they're not identifiable. Now that's changed a little bit because of a federal court case, primarily one particular case in Chicago,
yes,
where they're supposed to wear conspicuous identification. But the shorter version is that there's two ways to ingress and egress, to get in and out of this ICE facility. And we could protest at either one. In the last few weeks, one of those has been completely closed off. And there's one protest area, and the designated protest area is, I would say, a couple of hundred feet from the ICE facility. So unless you have a megaphone, they're probably, you know, the federal agents are probably not going to hear you. Although I will give you one little anecdote. I talked to two protesters who were in that designated protest zone. This is going back a couple of weeks, and they got fired on with pepper balls and hit with pepper balls. Even though it is a couple of hundred feet back, the pepper balls have a pretty decent range, apparently.
The idea that the acceptable protest zone is so far removed from the facility that you cannot be heard unless you have a blowhorn or a bullhorn basically negates, in effect, the purposes of the First Amendment, I would say. Sir, as a lawyer, do you agree? I mean, what is the point if nobody can hear you?
Well, that's exactly right. I hope that changes. You know, I keep telling people that talk to me about, you know, you asked about what forces are there. Right now, we've got the Broadview police that are enforcing the protest zone area limitations. We've had the Cook County Sheriff, Cook County, Illinois, and the Illinois State Police. Federal agents can be seen on buildings. Well, we assume they're federal agents. We don't know. There are people standing. Let me just describe what I see. I see people on buildings, typically with masks, sometimes with equipment that is not identifiable. And I've shouted up to them and received no response. So there's people on buildings, but the ones that appear to be enforcing are primarily lately Broadview police, backed up by either county sheriffs or the state police.
Have you witnessed any county sheriffs or local police firing pepper balls, tear gas, or rubber bullets at protesters?
Absolutely not. I think they have exercised great restraint. It's really a kudos to our state police and the Broadview police as well, because they've exercised great restraint. And just in the last few days, they've even more toned down any potential confrontation at the end of the designated protest time, which ends the mayor's executive order in Broadview, ends at 6 p.m. And the Broadview police is even been more accommodating in terms of protesters that want to stay past that 6 p.m. deadline.
That's, you know, not to put too fine a point on it, but that's the point, if you will. And by that, I simply mean, Robert, we want law enforcement officials, whether they're local, county, state, or federal, to show sufficient respect for citizens and residents' right to exercise our free speech rights, and to ensure, frankly, that federal agents can go about their duties. Like, these are both things that we should see in a democracy that is governed by the rule of law, not a presupposition that anybody who's protesting needs to effectively put down and subdued and shut up. And it seems such a volume of the footage from these interactions seems to indicate that there are quite a lot of federal law enforcement officers that are much more interested in the flex, as I believe the kids would say, than in striking this correct balance between ensuring that federal officials can go about their duties, as well as showing respect and deference to those who peaceably wish to exercise their constitutionally protected rights. Is that a fair summary?
Absolutely. It's bizarre that there's two things going on at the same time. One is, I think that most everybody, if not everybody, wants violent criminal Tren de Aragua or other gang members who are non-citizens who've committed violent crime to be arrested, prosecuted, or deported.
Yes.
We all want that. But that's not what ICE has been doing. That's not what we see on this in Broadview and on the videos that I see from the streets of Chicago. And that, you know, you alluded to it. I was arrested. I hadn't committed a crime. There are people that are innocently either recording the Broadview or other protesters and being sometimes subdued and arrested by federal agents. And it's wrong. And we want the federal agents, again, to do their job and do what the administration said, which is to get the worst of the worst. But to repeat for emphasis, that is not what's happening in Chicago.
That is not what's happening in Chicago. Folks, I am joined for this half hour by attorney Robert Held. He is from the Chicagoland, an attorney, as I noted, and he felt compelled to go to Broadview outside of the ICE facility there and protest. When we take a breath and come back, we just have about 2 minutes. I want to set the stage, Robert, and then we'll get into the details of what happened. About how many protesters were there? Mr. Held was detained by federal law enforcement and held for 8 hours. How many people were there? Was it a super tense environment? Set the stage for us a little bit, and then when we come back, we'll go through what exactly transpired that led to your detention. But set the stage for our listeners.
There could have been at most 100 protesters that Saturday afternoon. I had been sprayed with an unknown chemical directly into my face, so I was debilitated for about an hour. And then thereafter, I was at a fence that used to separate the ICE facility from the protesters, since been removed. Greg Bovino, the commander of Border Patrol, opened that gate with 40 federal agents next to him, and I have video of it, and said, "Clear the area or you're going to be arrested." Words to that effect. I was videoing him backing up, and you know, at some point decided to clear the street and was chased down and arrested. But the volatility occurred only because Greg Bovino and the federal agents decided to open that gate and literally march into the protesters rather than use the other exit that I had talked about earlier. So they created a volatile scenario, I believe, for their own film and for their own website.
The propaganda value of what ICE and Greg Bovino, a Customs and Border Patrol leader, is what they're doing. We're going to talk about those events and what transpired after Attorney Held's detention that Saturday afternoon in late September. Don't go anywhere. I'm Maggie Dawn. We continue this important conversation on the other side right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm joined for the balance of this half hour by attorney Robert Held, a Chicagoland attorney who was detained as he was protesting at the Broadview ICE facility for 8 hours. Attorney Held, we left off before the break. You were describing the fact that Customs and Border Patrol leader, commander Greg Bovino, made a decision this, I believe it was the last Saturday in September, to have about 40 agents you described sort of rush protesters. They could have left the ICE facility by another exit. They did not have to rush protesters. Was there anything, for example, vehicles that were trying to leave or enter the facility that were being prevented from doing so that precipitated this effective rushing of protesters led by CBP head Bovino.
Greg Bovino was leading these 40 federal agents, and there was a car behind and adjacent to some of the agents. So there was a car that was exiting that street where the facility is. But as you pointed out, they could have used the other exit. They didn't have to create what I think was political theater, quite frankly, because they have film crews that accompanied Greg Bovino and some of the ICE agents. And, you know, that they had created this political theater also just an hour prior, where Greg Bovino would put his hand on the shoulder of an immigrant being detained and literally just like walk him up to the facility, even though they normally come in by car, and it was being filmed. And he would do it like repeatedly. Okay, let's get another one. Let's do another one. So they're creating this stuff for their website, their social media sites, whether it's for recruitment or otherwise indoctrination, propaganda, whatever you want to call it. But they did not have to come out that gate that day when I was detained.
And effectively, they came out and immediately started physically engaging with some of the protesters. You described that you had been hit by a pepper, not directly, but had breathed in some sort of chemical earlier. You were somewhat incapacitated. You were filming and backing up as that directive to back up was being given, and you were effectively tackled. Tell us exactly what happened.
Sure. Well, to be clear, I was sprayed directly in the face with a chemical agent because I was looking through the fence that separates the protesters from the facility. And I did have a gas mask on, but I was up against the fence and I my peripheral vision was poor. And anyway, an agent sprayed something so hard into my face that it either moved my gas mask or went under it. And I was debilitated for one full hour. But then when they opened the gate, so they were walking, they opened the gate, you know, clear the streets, you're going to be impeding us and be arrested. I'm backing up and filming. They're walking forward. I've later seen videos of some other things that I hadn't seen at the time. But from my viewpoint, I'm just backing up. They're shouting directions. I'm backing up faster than they're walking. I'm not impeding or obstructing. But I decided, okay, I need to clear the street because as far as I could tell, I might be the only one left on the street, and they're still shouting. And they're calling me, sir and buddy, get off the road. So I do. I got off the road, and I ran off the road, but was chased. I was chased, and that was caught by an independent journalist. There's a video of that on the internet. But to finish the story, I eventually got to a fence that I could not clear. I'm 68 with a bad hip, and I gave myself up at that point. They ordered me to get on the ground and put my hands behind my back, and I was arrested.
So to be clear, you were exiting the area that they instructed you to exit, and then they chased you down.
But not quickly enough as they wanted. They had given perhaps 10 commands, clear the street, you need to clear the street. But I was not impeding them because they were coming at walking pace, and I was right, backing up much faster. And my video confirms that I wasn't impeding anyone, but they did chase me down.
And you were then handcuffed, zip-tied, what, and taken into that specific ICE facility?
I was handcuffed. I was put in a car. The car was driven a little bit, and then they opened the door, and then Gregory Bovino himself appeared at the door, looked me right in the face, and said, "Now what do you want to say to me?" I did not respond. They took me into the facility. I was held for 8 hours.
Were you ever informed of any charge?
Not at all. I was never charged with a crime. I never committed a crime, and I was never informed about what I did wrong or why I'd been detained.
Are you suing the federal government?
I'm not. There's what happened to me. Let's make this clear. This is not even a footnote compared to what's happening to the immigrants and to our communities. They are being devastated and abused by the Trump administration and these agencies. I don't need to get any recompense for what happened to me for those 8 hours. But we do need to change what's going on with respect to the immigrant communities and Chicago more generally, because we're living in fear. There are people that have been terrorized, that won't socialize, that won't go out to shop and won't go out to their work. It's really horrible when you talk to people on the streets that are being personally affected by this brutality.
To close out, you attended one of the hearings in the lawsuit brought by the state of Illinois challenging the National Guard deployments, challenging some of these what I would call posse comitatus violations by ICE officials. What did Federal District Court Judge Innes rule today? It's quite extraordinary what she is requiring CPB head Bovino to do on a daily basis, specifically around this issue of the use of force, which you ended up at the short end of the stick receiving. Tell us what happened today.
She had previously entered a temporary restraining order that protects prohibits ICE from issuing, using violence without warnings. And she ordered them to put conspicuous identification on themselves. And so the bottom line is, she said, you're violating the order and you need to come in every day at 6 o'clock to report to me on what you've been doing.
ICE and CPB will be required in a federal court in Illinois, the Northern District, to provide daily reports on their use of force, and Mr. Bovino will have to personally appear and answer the judge's questions at 6 p.m. Folks, this only happens when some pretty troubling things are afoot. My big thanks to Rob Held for being with us. Folks, when we come back, I continue our discussion of the utter lawlessness and the mayhem being wreaked not just on American citizens, but to citizens of other countries as well. We continue this important discussion on the other side. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, folks, the rest of this show is for me and you together. I want to get into a discussion about really the lawlessness of the Trump administration, these intentional efforts to create mayhem, which our last guest, Attorney Robert Held out of Chicago, was describing, that he saw as a protester very intentional decisions being made specifically by Customs and Border Patrol, by the head of that agency, a guy by the name of Greg Bovino, to basically trump up, pardon the pun, opportunities to end up in physical confrontations with protesters instead of trying to find ways to de-escalate, avoid those confrontations, let people do their protesting. But of course, federal agents, they have a right to go about and get done their business. And I also just want to point out the fact that I really appreciate the fact that Attorney Held made the point that no one that I know is saying that people that are here illegally that commit crimes, that are credibly accused and have probable cause determinations made or convicted, should not be deported. Of course they should. But the how matters, and the fact of the matter is that Customs and Border Patrol aren't doing targeted raids. They're just rounding people up. And in doing so, the manner of their interaction with protesters is clearly violating people's constitutional rights on a near daily basis. There is another version of lawlessness that the Trump administration is engaging in, and combined with what we see happening in these interactions with protesters, the illegal deployments of the National Guard, which continue to be litigated in our federal courts, is Donald Trump's legally unsound use of the military to kill people, citizens of other countries, by using missiles to blow up these boats that may be carrying alleged drug traffickers. They have never produced evidence. There has been no due process. These people are summarily executed at the hands of the United States government. And to me, the through line here is, if you think about what has transpired since the beginning of the Trump administration, the second one, what you see is the line of reasonable or not reasonable constantly getting kicked further out, and a normalization of this kind of violence by the government. Violence against folks that are quote unquote illegal. Well, that's okay because they're criminals. Well, that's okay, even if they're not criminals, because they're illegal. Oh, that's okay against American citizens, because they just got caught up in these raids of these picking up of these illegals because, you know, they had the wrong kind of friends. Oh, it's okay against American citizens who are protesting because they're impeding law enforcement. Oh, it's okay to summarily execute citizens of other countries in international waters in which we have no jurisdiction because they're allegedly, without any evidence or due process, drug traffickers. You see the line getting pushed? Normalizing the extreme use of extraordinary violence and now killing of people without any process at all. Extreme violence, now including the killing of citizens of other countries by government agents and officials without the presentation of evidence, without any due process. And as we played yesterday, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth was asked recently by a reporter, there are reports of a plan to deploy strike forces in 50 states. Is this true? And Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth said basically, yeah, it is. We won't don't discuss specific plans, but yes, of course, we have plans for every situation. That's an admission. What is a military-styled strike force across all 50 states supposed to do exactly? If you can spray rubber bullets and pepper bombs and tear gas at protesters because you decide you need them to move and they're not moving fast enough, if Stephen Miller tells federal agents that you have absolute immunity for anything that you do, any violation of rights, which, by the way, is not true, where is the line? I don't see it anymore. And make no mistake, this is not a concern that I hold or that just Democrats hold. There are Republicans that are slowly and meaningfully, and independents that are slowly and meaningfully starting to sound the alarm. And one such individual is Senator Rand Paul. We're going to first listen to a number of cuts that we've put together of Rand Paul explaining why what the Trump administration is doing by using the military to fire missiles at these boats in the Caribbean is illegal and may even amount to a war crime. Let's take a listen to Rand Paul explaining this over and over and over again. This includes sound from Piers Morgan Uncensored in about a week ago. We've got sound just from this week from Rand Paul that we'll get to, but let's listen to this is a montage of Rand Paul in numerous interviews explaining why what Donald Trump is doing is basically illegal killing of citizens of other countries without evidence or due process. Take a listen to this.
Drug usage is way down, and drug usage coming from the sea, they call it ocean drugs, a little term that they use, the ocean drugs, is very close to non-existent right now.
Number one, there is no fentanyl made in Venezuela. Not just a little bit, there's none being made in Venezuela. These are outboard boats that in order for them to get to Miami would have to stop and refuel 20 times. They're in all likely going to Trinidad and Tobago, which is an island right off of the coast of Venezuela. So there's a lot of reasons to be worried about this. But number one is the broader principle of when can you kill people indiscriminately? When you're at war. That's why when we declare war, it's supposed to be done by Congress. It's supposed to be thoughtful. It's supposed to be debated. And we're not supposed to do it willy-nilly. And then when you have war, you just kill people in the war zone. And even then, there are rules of engagement. But interdicting drugs has always been a criminal activity and a criminal anti-crime sort of activity where we don't just summarily execute people. We actually present evidence and convict them.
One of the interesting things is one of the recent explosions, a bunch of the people on the boats died, but two people survived. Did we detain them and check them for drugs or drug residue? Did we gather the evidence from the wreckage and then prosecute them? No, we just said, oh, well, we're going to send you back to your country. So I really think that you cannot have a policy where you just allege that someone is guilty of something and then kill them. The reason being that we interdict ships all the time off the coast of Miami, off the coast of California, and the Coast Guard statistics say that about 25% of the boats that we stop to search don't have any drugs. So if one out of four of the boats don't have drugs on them, you know, what kind of person would justify blowing up people when one out of four boats may well not have drugs on them?
And this is Rand Paul earlier this week on Fox News, again addressing this problem. This is Cut 12.
You know, it's not so much about a briefing, but we haven't had a briefing. To be clear, we've gotten no information. I've been invited to no briefing. But a briefing's not enough to overcome the Constitution. The Constitution says that when you go to war, Congress has to vote on it. And during a war, then, there's a lower rules for engagement. People do sometimes get killed without due process. But the drug war or the crime war has typically been something we do through law enforcement. And so far, they have alleged that these people are drug dealers. No one said their name. No one said what evidence. No one said whether they're armed. And we've had no evidence presented. So at this point, I would call them extrajudicial killings. And this is akin to what China does, to Iran does with drug dealers. They summarily execute people without presenting evidence to the public. So it's wrong.
It's wrong. And if Congress, if Rand Paul is the only one standing up saying, this is a problem, we collectively as Americans, our democracy is in great peril. In great peril. We also have sound from C-SPAN on October 26th, again, just 2 days ago, of former Representative Bob Lankford talking about this exact point. Take a listen to this.
The administration needs to give insight into Congress. That's part of it. If this was happening with this level of insight under the Biden administration, I'd be apoplectic.
Yeah, let's think about the precedent
I would say, hey, listen, I serve on the Intelligence Committee. He serves as a senior Democrat on defense. This is typical consultation. It's not permission, but it is, hey, I want to let you know this is happening, and here are the details of what's happening, and here's why and what, and here's what we know. Here's what we know about each one of these. Incidents that has occurred in the people that are there. That's important. We're all elected officials. We're in a co-equal branch of government, and we've got to be able to have that kind of coordination.
Bob Lankford is currently a U.S. senator. And so if you put together what you just heard, you've heard a Republican senator, Rand Paul, point out that they have seen no evidence that outside of a declared war, which we do not have, that these are, quote, extrajudicial killings. Extrajudicial, of course, is a fancy word for illegal, that you cannot summarily execute people. And what you heard now Republican Senator Bob Lankford saying was not only do you not have the legal showing that these are enemy combatants, not only do you not have a congressional declaration of war, you don't even have the provision of the most basic evidence or information about how these determinations are being made, the standard of proof that's being required, or any of the intelligence that is allegedly the catalyst for these killings. These are Republicans. Bob Lankford voted for the big brutal bill. This isn't some, you know, centrist Republican. They're not even telling Congress what is going on. And it is Congress's job to execute oversight. Telling Congress doesn't mean sharing operational details or sensitive intelligence. They have SCIFs, Secured Compartmentalized Information Facilities, SCIFs, to provide this information. We now have two Republican senators saying this is deeply problematic. Let me just say this. I sure wish Rand Paul, Bob Lankford cared as much about American citizens and due process in this country as they do for alleged drug runners on speedboats in the Caribbean. When we come back, I discuss what comes next and where a surprising source of hope may be found in these dark times. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is our last segment of the day, and thus it is your last opportunity to get your thoughts in this Tuesday afternoon. 855-752-4842. And folks, it is shutdown day 28, and as I have been doing, let's just all remind ourselves of who is to blame for this shutdown. Cal, let's roll the old montage. Cut 28, please. It's interesting when you listen to that, right? Because Donald Trump isn't here. So how do you get in a room? How do you, the president's got a lead. Get everybody in a room. He's not here. The House isn't in session. How do you get everybody in a room? Doesn't make any sense. And as the media do from time to time, we've found yet an additional clip of Donald Trump making it very clear who is always responsible when there is a government shutdown. Let's take a listen to this. This is back from April 7th, 2011 on the NBC Today Show with Meredith Vieira. Take a listen to this.
If there is a shutdown, I think it would be a tremendously negative mark on the President of the United States. He's the one that has to get people together.
You know, in that room together, but not because he's in South Korea, and not because the House isn't in session for some 80 plus days out of the last 90. Nothing like a good old paid vacation. By the way, do you know that members of Congress have effectively concierge on demand health care? On demand. No waiting, no lines, blood tests whenever they need them, x-rays, what have you, MRIs, yeah. But regular people, yeah, you don't need health insurance, let alone on-demand platinum health care provided by the U.S. military. It's a little frustrating, I would say. But I wanted to leave you all with a bit of hope. And I stumbled across this sound. And admittedly, I'm going to play it for you in part because, boy, this Archbishop of Chicago, Cardinal Blaise Kupich, he sure summarizes his thoughts in a way that might sound eerily familiar to you. This is part of my point of hope these days, is there are faith leaders across all denominations speaking out and reminding us what especially the New Testament says about the stranger, about the immigrant. But let's take a listen. This is, again, the Archbishop of the Chicago Diocese, Cardinal Blaise Kupich. Listen to what he has to say about this moment that we're all in.
My dear brothers and sisters, today I speak to you as your shepherd, but also as a fellow pilgrim who shares the pain of many of our immigrant communities. Families are being torn apart. Children are left in fear. And communities are shaken by immigration raids and detentions. These actions wound the soul of our city. Let me be clear. The church stands with migrants. We stand with a mother who crosses borders to feed her children. We stand with a father who labors in silence to build a better future. We stand with the young person who dreams of safety and a better future. Our parishes and schools will not turn away those who seek comfort, and we will not be silent when dignity is denied.
We will not be silenced when dignity is denied. What an important message. And did you hear that repeated call from the Archbishop of Chicago, Cardinal Kupich, to stand with migrants, to stand with the mother trying to feed her children, with the father trying to give something better to his kids, with the young person seeking a better future for themselves? And perhaps no single faith leader is as famous, at least in North America, than perhaps post-Pope Leo. And Pope Leo has gotten more and more and more specific and pointed in his critique of those that claim the mantle of Christianity and yet disclaim their obligations to serve one another and to serve, yes, the migrant. In late September, Pope Leo publicly questioned whether Trump's crackdown on immigrants can ever square with the Catholic Church's pro-life teachings, pointedly asking, and I've played some of the sound before, whether anyone can truly claim to be pro-life while supporting, quote, the inhuman treatment of immigrants. It was on September 30th. A week later, earlier this month, he met with U.S. border bishops, and he read dozens of letters from terrified immigrants. He was brought to tears, and he assured that group that the, quote, the church cannot stay silent before injustice. You stand with me, and I stand with you. He then urged the entire U.S. Conference of Bishops to speak out against how migrants are being treated by this administration. If you want to claim to be pro-life, you need some consistency. And you've got to stand with every life, not just the ones that resemble you. Folks, that's going to do it for me. Remember, as I say every day, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me, but it is always better when we stand together.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.